I named this sermon, Let's Go. We're going to be talking about, this morning we're talking about the shepherds, and as we go through this, you're going to see we have a lot in common with these individuals. So we're going to begin at Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Father, we just ask that you'll just take your word here this morning. Lord, it's important to put ourselves in the scripture, to understand the scripture, to understand the context. Because, Lord, that context, Lord, will fit into our context. And so, Lord, we ask today that we will just be stirred in our hearts, that our minds will be open, and once again, we'll allow the Holy Spirit to do what he needs to do in us, whether it's encouragement or whether it needs just a rebuke or rather whatever we need, Father. We're just asking, God, that you would do what you need to do. Stir us into the life in which you called us, Lord. Stir us up, Lord, and as the title of the sermon is, Let's Go. Lord, I pray that that will be something that we can take with us as we leave this service today. And I pray in your name, amen. So as we look at this story, again, I just want you to consider their situation, their encounter with Jesus, and how it changed their lives. And how many people's lives here have been changed because we've encountered Jesus Christ. And so I'm just going to pick some words that kind of came up in my mind as I read this story. The first one is livelihood. And so if you look at the shepherd and what they did for a living, to many it was an insignificant job. And today we could kind of look at the farmer, and if you live in the city, you don't give too much thought to what a farmer does. But how many know if there's no food on the shelf or there's no milk, there's no byproducts that come from a farm, guess what? They will complain. They will gripe. And so these individuals, believe it or not, were very significant to the culture of Israel. And so as we look at their life, they might have been considered insignificant in many people's eyes, but we also see that to those that were Orthodox Jews, the shepherds weren't considered very high in the caste system, as it were. They were despised by the Orthodox Jews because they were individuals who were ceremonially unclean. There's no way for them to prepare for the rituals that they would celebrate as Jewish people. And so they were looked upon as outcasts. And as you know, a shepherd is kind of a lonely occupation. It's not like you hung around people, you hung around animals. All right? And they did encounter people, but very little. They were kind of grouped with the sinners, but they weren't considered like the tax collectors, that low on the totem pole. But they weren't considered much higher either. But they did play an important role. They supplied the sacrificial lambs. There in Bethlehem, they raised the sheep that would be there sacrificed in Jerusalem in the temple. And so every day, how many know how many sacrifices had to be made? One in the morning and one in the evening, right? Began the day with a sacrifice, and they ended the day with a sacrifice. They were there, those that would come to the temple, what would sacrifice a lamb? For whatever occasion that needed to be sacrificed. And so we see that these individuals had an important role. We also know the story of Jesus when he cleansed the temple. You remember that? He went in, cleansed the temple, and told them, don't make my house a house of thieves, right? It's a house of prayer. And remember that what they were selling in there was probably the lambs that these individuals were raising there in Bethlehem. And so this is how they made their living. And how many of you live at your job? Most of us don't live at our job, right? These are individuals we see, and they were shepherds. They were living out in the fields. That's where they slept. That's where they spent their day. That's where they spent their night, was in the fields. And so they were 24-7. They were outside of the city. They were outside of the convenience of living in a home. And so we can kind of see a little bit what went on in the life of the shepherd. The shepherd took care and bred the sheep. It was a supply and demand situation. They were essential to not just the economy, but the religious ceremonies that were done there in Israel. We often exalt certain occupations over others. Every year we celebrate probably three holidays where we celebrate our military, what they do for our country. We celebrate our freedoms and the work that they do. We celebrate sometimes our police and our firemen for the service they give to our communities. We give service to, lip service at least, to our political individuals, celebrities, maybe individuals like doctors. We kind of look at these individuals as important people in our culture. And you notice I didn't say lawyers, right? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. But how many know lawyers are essential? Amen. We adopted two girls. We needed lawyers. When Karen's father passed away, we needed a lawyer. And we worked with a number of different lawyers, and I enjoy lawyer jokes. I don't know about you, but I do, because we had some experiences that kind of made those jokes kind of true. But what about those individuals that affect and have a greater impact on our daily lives? How many have ever lost their electricity? How many know electricity is important? How about our water? How about our sewage? How about however you heat your house? We have gas at our house. How about if the garbage man didn't come and pick up your garbage? Right? How about the mail delivery? How many complain about the mail service, right? Think about it. These individuals affect our lives on a daily occurrence. How about PennDOT? How many have ever gone through a work zone and complained? Come on now. Amen. But how many know if there's potholes in your road, you complain, right? So if whether they do it or they don't do it, guess what? We complain, all right? And so, all right, I didn't bring my shovel here to kind of give you an example of what we think of PennDOT, but they do a lot more than that. Be grateful for those individuals. And so it's important to realize, just as these people are important in their service to us on a daily basis, just think about it, these shepherds were very important to Israel at this time. They were an important cog in the wheel that made the Jewish life possible. And so there we have it, the livelihood. Think about their livelihood, what they did, and how important it was to the people of Israel. Second word popped in my mind was revelation. And it's kind of an interesting thing here that Jesus comes along and says, no one comes through the Father but through the Son, right? By me. And then Jesus says later, nobody comes to the Son except what? The Father draws them, right? Or reveals them. And so we see that revelation is very important. You are here this morning because you have a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Isn't that why we're gathered? Because somewhere down the road, somebody has revealed to us who Jesus Christ is. So God revealed himself specifically to the shepherds during this time. And we have heard testimonies that I found the Lord in 1943 or 1968, right? You didn't find the Lord. The Bible says he found us. Isn't that what it says? Read Luke chapter 15. You'll see the story of the lost coin, the lost, the sheep, There you go. We're talking about sheep and the lost son, right? The Bible says, well, we were once lost, but we were what? Found, right? We didn't find God, he found us. We were once blind, but now we see, because God turned on the light in our life. Aren't you glad? I don't know if you're one of those individuals that picks up pennies when you find them. Amen? God picks up pennies. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that he picks up pennies? We're here today because God picks up pennies. Amen. So they had a revelation. An angel showed up. An angelic choir showed up. And God gave them specific information. There was no question about what God had just told them. They understood exactly what was taking place. We read the specifics in this story. He said, tonight, not sometime, not maybe here near in the future. He said, tonight, there is a Savior, there is the Messiah, the Lord, has been born. That's very specific. He said, they're in Bethlehem. These guys are out in the field. They were probably wishing they were in Bethlehem, sleeping in a comfortable bed. But they weren't. He said, in the town of Bethlehem, you will find him. Who? You will find the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. He's going to be a baby, and he's going to be wrapped up in swaddling clothing, lying in a manger. So when God revealed himself to them, there was no mistaking of what was taking place. And when God revealed himself to us, there was no mistaking who he was and what he expected of us. You know, sometimes we give this illusion that if you accept Jesus Christ, life is going to be smooth. It's going to be wonderful. If you get baptized, it's going to be wonderful. If you receive the Holy Spirit, oh, that's kind of wonderful. We might be wonderful for what? 3 days? A week? And then how many know hell breaks loose, right? Amen? Because we have an enemy, right? He tries to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to rob you. And so, there is no mistaking when he comes to us, there is an expectation. He gave his life for us, and what do? We give our lives for him. Amen. Maybe we should preach that a little bit more instead of saying, hey, if you follow Jesus, life gets better. Amen. It is better. But there's a cost to that better. It's giving him your life. So we may not experience an angel or an angelic choir. We may not have dreams and visions. But we did hear the message from a messenger sent from God. I don't know how you got saved, if you got saved in a church service here in preaching, or you accepted Jesus Christ sitting in a Sunday school class, or maybe your parents led you, or a friend led you. But God sent you a message by a messenger, and he gave you a specific message, and you were moved by the Holy Spirit. You were given a revelation of what Jesus Christ could mean to you. Amen? And so we see in the story that there was a revelation. There was no mistaking what the angels had said to these shepherds. Another word that popped into my mind as I was reading this was messengers. How many know when something good happens, nobody has to tell you to share the good news? Right? If it's something wonderful happens to you, you can't wait to tell somebody what has happened to you. And so the angel brought good news of great joy for all people. We read that in verse 10. All right? It wasn't just for the shepherds, but it did get a little bit specific to them. We read there in that scripture, he says to them in the scripture somewhere, all right, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. So he gets a little bit specific here, to you. It is a sign to you. You will find the baby. So it was a story. The story is for all of us. But guess what? It was also just given specifically to the shepherds. And so as we look at this, verse 17, verse 18, it reads, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. As I said, good news is hard to keep to yourself. We adopted two girls. The first one we knew. We knew of it in August. We saw the little sonogram pictures, those very finite, high-definition pictures, you know, and they're saying, can you see it's a girl? And it's like, no, I can't see it's a girl, right? You know those pictures, right? And so we knew, but even though the day she was born, we knew what day was going to be born. The mother was induced. We were there all day. It was one of the longest days of our life. And she came. And even though we knew she was coming, we knew what day she was supposed to come on, we still called people and said, hey, we have a daughter. And when we had our second daughter adopted, my parents were coming to visit, and we had no idea this was going to take place in short order. We got a phone call saying, would you like a little girl? And so when my parents got there, they had no idea, except I think my oldest daughter told them that what was happening. But when they got to our house, Karen came in holding a baby. So we got to share the good news. We can't help but share the good things that God has done for us. And we know that babies are good things. And maybe it's a good thing that God brought Jesus to earth, not as a man, but as a baby. How many know babies bring with them joy and a hope of better days ahead, right? It doesn't matter what kind of circumstances you're in. It brings new life. It brings a fresh start sometimes into our life. And even though we have a whole range of family members, some are leaving the earth, and then we have some coming in, right? And so it brings new life into our families. And so Jesus came as a baby, and it was good news of great joy for everyone. And so as we celebrate this season, remember that Christmas is about a baby. It's about the incarnation. It means that Emmanuel, that God is with us, that Jesus came to earth as a person. And be grateful for that, because he had to take our place. Amen? Amen. And the last thing that popped in my mind was this phrase, praise and glory. The shepherds were excited. The message of the shepherds was given to anyone who would listen. And they did share it. They shared it. And it says in this scripture that those who heard it were amazed when they heard it. And it also says, even though Mary was carrying the baby for 9 months, she knew the background of the conception. It says that Mary was still pondering these things in her heart, what the shepherds were saying. It was like new news. It was fresh to her heart. There was things that she didn't quite understand, even though she was in on the secret. For the shepherds who went back to their fields and flocks and livelihood, there was a greater sense of purpose. When we meet Jesus Christ, it gives us a greater purpose in life. Even if our jobs are mundane, even though our jobs just seem like the same old, same old, guess what? There is a purpose when we accept Christ. There is something that he places within us that the Bible says that as we work as unto the Lord, right? We have a new purpose. We're not working for the man, the guy who's making the big bonuses, right? We are working as unto the Lord. And so there's a purpose that was birthed in the hearts of the shepherds. They couldn't help but glorify and praise God for what they had heard and seen. And it brought a new significance to their job. I don't know what they understood. And I don't know if they connected the dots that they were supplying the sacrificial lambs that were being sacrificed in the temple with Jesus, who was the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. I don't know if they connected the dots that he was the Lamb of God who was going to take away the sins of the world. I don't know. But I do know that after experiencing this experience, there was something that happened within their hearts, and it said they went on rejoicing and praising God. There was something new, something happened in their life, in their encounter with Jesus Christ, even though he was still a baby. There was something birthed within their spirits. And as I was thinking about this, that song by the Gaithers came into my mind. Lord, look what the Lord has done. I know that song, right? Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. You know this song. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. I'm going to praise his name each day. He's just the same. Come on and praise him. Look what the Lord has done. I don't know if this is the song that they sung. I don't know. but it said that they were praising and glorifying God. And so I just want to encourage you today, as we go through this season, don't let the enemy rob you of the joy of the season, of the reason for the season, and that is Jesus Christ. And so like the shepherds, the part we play in this world is significant. So whatever you're called to be, whatever you're called to do, and I loved your testimony. I did. Because we do. We get so bogged down in the job and we forget why we're doing it. Or for who we're doing it for. Right? We all like praise for the work that we do. We want to do a good job. But glory to God, we want to give him the honor and the glory because we're working for him. And so the shepherd said, let's go. Let's go and see. Let's see this thing that has happened. And so I want to encourage you as you go about your Christmas season, even starting today, that you have that spirit within us. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go to prayer. Let's go deeper in his word. Let's go into fellowship with one another. And let's go telling others the good news of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And so, livelihood. God has strategically placed you where you are. I don't know if you realize that or not, but you are the light. You are the salt in that place that he has placed you. And he gives us revelation all the time. Revelation, yep, to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord. But how many know that God gives us revelation as we interface with people? Guess what? He wants us, what, to minister to them. We are the messenger that he is calling. How can they hear without a preacher? Unless somebody sends them. Right? Unless somebody shares. And we are the messengers. Folks, we want you to be filled with glory. We want you to glorify and praise God. We want you to be excited about what he is in your life. He gives purpose to our life and everything we do, right? And if we can take that mindset, I hate my job, I don't want to go. And sometimes it's like that. Maybe if we can change the mindset that we're a missionary to that place. We are a missionary to those individuals. Because no matter what we do, it is our worship to him. It's not just coming in and listening to the worship team, and that's worship. Every aspect of your life is worship. And these shepherds went out with a new sense of worship. They were singing, shouting, and praising God, watching those sheep. Amen. Amen. So let's do it. No matter what we do, no matter the work that God's called us, do it as unto the Lord. Father, we come to you today, and Father, this holiday season, we look forward to it. We like celebrating it. But Father, sometimes there's things that happen in our life that kind of rob us of that. And I know that there are those who have lost loved ones. I know there are those who have losses in their life. And we think of those in South Carolina. We think of those maybe even in New York, Lord, that aren't in situations that are maybe as good as ours. And so, Lord, help us to remind us of the focus. It's not about the things. It's not about the gifts. It's not about the food. It's not about all those things. But it's about you. And if you're in this house today and you need to refocus on Jesus Christ, I'm asking you in this moment, in this time, please do. I don't know where you're at in your journey with the Lord. Maybe it's up and down. Maybe it's smooth going. Maybe it's wonderful. Maybe you're not even there in a relationship. But it's in this moment, in this time, that we can just take a breather and just slow down and say, hey, God has given us his son, Jesus Christ. He is the Savior of the world. We have a sin problem, church. But Jesus came to solve the sin problem. we have a management problem because we want to be Lord, and God says, no, I don't want you to be Lord because I have a better plan for your life than you have for your life, and I want to be your Lord. He wants to be our Messiah. He wants to be our Emmanuel. He wants to hang out with us and be with us, not just on Sunday morning, but 24/7. The shepherds lived in the fields. Jesus comes and says, hey, I want to live with you. I want to make my home with you. While you're here on earth, I'm going to make my home with you. And when your life is over, I want to take you back to my home. That's the good news. That's John chapter 14. Are you ready to go to his home? Have you made a home for him here? We remember the story, there was no room in the inn. We sang about it today, about making room. And today I just want to encourage you, make room. Say, Jesus, come in. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, I surrender. Jesus, guide me, lead me, give me some new, fresh revelation. Jesus, be with me. It's as simple as that. It's not just words, but it's words backed up by living. Lord, we choose today to live for you. Just as you came, as we call it the incarnation, you became flesh. The Bible says that you've came and came to live in us. And we have you inside. And so I thank you, Lord, that today, as you became man, we become yours, your sons and your daughters. We give you praise. Can we do that just in your own heart right now? Just worship him. Lord, we just come before you and we just give you the honor, the glory. As we're opening up our hearts into this Christmas season, Father, we're asking God that you just do something fresh, something new. That it's not just the traditions that we keep, but Lord, there's just something new and fresh this year that you want to do in us, that you want to revive within us this joy that these shepherds felt, that we might be the people that would praise you, that would give you the glory in all that we do. And we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.